Pack in your shoebox. All right, if you'll open your Bibles this morning, the book of Matthew. Kind of feel bad. I started to pick a different text this morning after what's been going on the last few days with the hurricane. I saw a picture online of the Myrtle Beach Lifeway store that said, closed due to Matthew. Mark, Luke, and John are behaving. And so I started to use a different text this morning, but like I said, we've been going through the Beatitudes, this is actually a good text for the events of the last few days and for following up after an Operation Christmas Child message. We come to kind of the second half of the other Beatitudes, and I almost hate to say it that way because I don't want to give anybody the impression that the Beatitudes are a buffet line. That they are pick and choose. They do divide in half, but they are not multiple choice. They are a package deal. The first half of the Beatitudes, the first four, deal specifically in our relationship with God. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, Christ moves into kind of what happens once we understand those four. Once we realize that we are sinners desperately in need of salvation, that there is no righteousness in us whatsoever, we grieve over that sin, we long for righteousness in our life. Once that begins to take place, then we move to this beatitude where Christ says, blessed are the merciful. Now, I don't know many people who would look at me and say, I'm not merciful. I stomp on everybody. Most people think to some extent I am merciful. Obviously, some more than others, but most of us think that that we are to some extent merciful. I want to challenge that, push back at that just a little this morning as we consider what Christ means when He says merciful. Again, we have an idea of merciful. Most of us, for example, we looked at the video of the kids getting gifts, and we were touched. We were stirred by that. It moved us to see something like that. We've seen the news reports in the last few days, and we've saw what's happened in Florida. We've seen Savannah, Charleston, up the East Coast, and we've seen that, and we've seen people's homes flooded. We've seen people's homes destroyed. We've seen people's businesses destroyed. People displaced in shelters. People with no power, no water, no cable. That may be the I laughed yesterday. There was a guy who was being interviewed by a guy from the cable, from the Weather Channel, and he said he still had power, but he didn't have cable. And the guy says, so you're on cable, but you don't have cable. And so we've watched that, and our hearts have been tugged by that. I mean, that's, it bothers us. And we have had some, we have feelings about that. And so most of us have a tinge, a hint of mercy in us. But I want us this morning to go a little further and understand a little more in detail what Christ means when He talks about mercy. Very simple message this morning because this is one. It's not like poor in spirit where we don't want to hear about being poor or hungry. This is mercy. This one's pretty straightforward. So we need to start with a definition. How do we define mercy? It may be easier to talk about what mercy is not. Mercy is not what most of us have done the last few days. Mercy is not sitting and watching a newscast and going, oh, those poor people in Florida. Oh, those poor people on the coast. That's not mercy. That may be sympathy. It may be even the beginning of mercy. But mercy, as Christ is speaking here, and the word that He uses is a word that another way of understanding. It comes back to the word of the idea of whitewashing. And in other words, it's the idea of seeing it and covering it over and fixing it. And so mercy is not what we've done for the most part the last few days, where we have set aside and said, "Oh man, that's terrible. That's horrible." Mercy, instead of sympathy, mercy is empathy. Mercy, as defined by this passage, is defined by what Christ is saying. It's not just seeing the problem, it's fixing the problem. It's taking steps to do something about it. It's not just saying, "Oh, those poor kids overseas." It's packing a box. It's not just saying, "Oh, those poor folks on the coast." It's sending some water. It's making a donation. It's going if you're able, and helping with the cleanup, and it's making an actual attempt to make a difference in the need. And you know, anybody can see the problem. And we see it. I think one of the greatest examples I think of how most of us act, and I've seen this in years gone by, and being in the bread business and being in grocery stores, and all of us have seen it. I've seen this just thousands of times. I've watched people walk in the grocery store, and you've seen this. You know how many times this happens when you walk in and there's always a rug laying at the front door of a grocery store. And I can't tell you how many times I've been standing at the front of the store and that rug be flipped up, and somebody walk in, step over the flipped up rug, you go, "Somebody's going to fall," and keep walking. That's not mercy. That's not somebody needs to do something. That's not mercy. A spill. And listen, I'm not telling you to go mop the grocery store floor for them. But I am saying we could at least point it out to somebody before some little lady takes a header in aisle three. Mercy is, as defined by this passage, is not just simply seeing the problem. Listen, it's good that we see the problem. We're bothered by the need. We see that neighbor next door. We see that person at work. We see that person who, and it's good to see that problem. But if you look, James says very clearly in the second chapter, he says this, basically paraphrasing, he says to see the problem and do nothing about the problem is worse. At least if you're blind or ignorant to the problem, you can, "Well, I didn't know." But to see the problem, to know the problem, to know the need, and to ignore the need, that is contrary to everything we are called to be as believers. Contrary to everything that the world is looking for out of the church today. To see the problem, to see the need. We know even greater than the needs of those who need water and power and those kind of things. To see the need, to know that around us people are dying lost without Jesus Christ. To know that people are dying and leaving this world lost, bound for an eternity in a devil's hell. To know that. And to say somebody needs to do something. Deacons need to do, the missionaries, somebody needs to do something. That is just, there is nothing that is more contrary to who we are to be as believers than to know a need, to see a need, and to do nothing. Mercy defined is action. It's taking some action about the problem. Again, the best way to understand and describe mercy is to think about the greatest picture. Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us that it says very simply, God is mercy. Paul at one place says that He is rich in mercy. Now let's think about that for a minute. How does God show His mercy? Well, the greatest example was Calvary. The greatest example was Christ. God didn't just sit on His throne and look at this earth and go, "Well, old Tommy, he's a mess. Tommy, he's lost. Tommy, he and I are separated. There's a division between..." God looked and He said what? That God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He doesn't just say, go all the way back to Genesis. Go back to the Garden of Eden, and we see there where man first fell. And what does God do? He immediately steps onto the scene and says what? He looks at Satan, He looks at Lucifer, and says to him, "You..." And He said, you've done this. He said, "I want you to understand the seed of this woman..." He said, "You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head." You know what He was saying? Right there at that instant, that moment when man first fell, He said, "I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to send my son. I'm not just going to sit in heaven and go, yeah, they're lost. Yeah, they're going to hell. He says, I'm going to do something. The greatest picture of mercy for you and I is Jesus Christ. It is what God did. If we want to know what mercy looks like, it doesn't sit idly by. It would have been simple for God. It would have been easy for God to sit on His throne and go, listen, I've told you before, you know what I would be if I was God. I'd be the lightning bolt God. You know, that would be my nickname. You know, listen, and it would have been easier in Eden when I wouldn't have needed but two lightning bolts. Adam and Eve, done. You know, listen, that would have been the simple way to fix the problem. That would have been the easy way to deal with it. Zap, no more Adam and Eve, no more problem. But instead, our God said, I'll send my son. That's mercy. Amen. That's mercy. That's what mercy looks like. Mercy doesn't just see the problem. Mercy intervenes. Mercy steps in and takes action about the need, the problem. Whether it's, again, and all of us have various gifts and various abilities. Some of you are not able physically or financially or otherwise to say go to Savannah or to Charleston or to Wilmington or Fayetteville or one of these places that are devastated by the floods. You're not able. You're not physically able. You can't go. Your job, whatever, you can't go. But we can. There's something. We may not can go to Fayetteville. We can go next door. We may not can send a lot of money to the effort. But we can help out our neighbor. Listen, we all have. The sun will not set today before you have the opportunity to be merciful to somebody. It may not look like a case of water. It may not mean shoveling sand and mud out of their home. It may be that you're at the grocery store in a little while and you're starting out and there's a mother wrestling with her child and trying to handle her child in a buggy full of groceries. And it may mean that you walk over and you help. Don't try to hold the child. That'll get you locked up. It may mean you put the groceries in the trunk for her while she holds the child. It may mean that a little lady is trying to get in and out of the store with her arms full and you hold the door for her. It may mean that somebody's going through the register and they're a dollar short and you give them a dollar. There's opportunities every day for us to show mercy, to show the love of Christ. I shared with you last week those 20-year-old books that I found that some of them are still laying here, that those 60 ways to share Christ. There's all kinds of little ways in that we have the opportunity every day, not just to see the need, but to meet the need, to show the mercy, the love of God. Listen, I want to tell you something. Our world is starving for the Church of Jesus Christ to show mercy. We live in a mean, rotten world. We live in a world where right here in our own town, people go in and shoot a 90-year-old lady. We live in a mean world. We live we live in a world where most of us don't feel safe at pretty much any place, even in our own home. We live in a world that when they see mercy, when they see someone being merciful, however small, I don't know how many of you have ever, you just saw it played out for you on that video. I don't know how you ever packed a shoebox or saw. Listen, I stand sometimes and when we go over there to the warehouse and those shoeboxes are coming down through there and every one of them was opened and inspected. And so generally if I'm around there and I can see, and those of you that have been, you know what I'm talking about. There are things in those boxes that I'm looking at them going, really? This is a Christmas present? Yeah. For the most part, we could give our children 100 of those boxes and they'd go, where's my present? You know, I don't want this stuff. You know, where's my real present? Did you see those kids? With a baseball, thrilled to death. With a Carolina Tar Heel shirt, thrilled to death. You know, that tells you how grateful they are over nothing. doesn't take much mercy to be merciful. I'm not telling you go next door and paint your neighbor's house. I'm not telling you go next door and tear out their rotten floor and remodel their house for them. I'm not telling you go next door and rebuild their engine. What I'm saying is when we bake a cake, take part of it to the neighbor. When we see someone we don't know hurting, help. Help. Be merciful. Mercy displayed or defined. Let me show you mercy displayed. Let me give you an example here that may help us. One of the greatest stories, obviously the greatest example of mercy is Jesus Christ. But one of the greatest stories that displays mercy for us is the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, most of you I've talked about, and many of you have heard it in Sunday school, you know the animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. The Jews, hate is the word I'll use because I don't know a stronger word. Hate, like the Grinch looking down at, they hated the Jews. And I've shared with you before that tradition of history tells us that if a Jew for some reason had to go through Samaria, would literally wash their feet to keep from taking Samaritan dirt back to Israel. They would prefer to walk around Samaria and take a little extra journey. They wouldn't allow the Samaritans to come and worship in the temple. They hated the Samaritans. And yet Jesus tells us the story of the Good Samaritan, which immediately kicked off the Jews, because there was no such thing in their mind as a Good Samaritan. But you know the story. The man's traveling, and he's jumped on and beaten and robbed and left to die. Well, those come past, and we'll skip those for a moment. They don't really matter to the story. And then the Samaritan comes by. And the Samaritan picks him up, bandages his wounds, and takes him to town, rents him a hotel room, and leaves money and says, take care of him. And when I come back, if he needs anything else, I'll take care of that. You want a picture of mercy? That's mercy. What do we learn about mercy? We learn that mercy helps those who are not like us. Mercy helps those that are not like us. The Samaritan helping the Jew. That was, I don't even have a real comparison for that. I don't even have a real way for us to reconcile that in our mind to say that the Samaritan helping the Jew would be like this person. I can't even think of anything really that compares to that. There's just practically nothing that stands in comparison to that. But the Samaritan helped a man who honestly, had the roles been reversed, I think it's safe to say from what we know, barring that the man in the ditch was just an extraordinarily good guy, and not only an extraordinarily good guy, but a really bad Jew, had the roles been reversed and the Samaritan been in the ditch, the Jew would have went, serves him right, and kept walking. Got what was coming to him. Shame they left him alive. I mean, those are the kind of comments you can imagine would have come out of this. But mercy goes over to the ditch and rescues the man who isn't from his town, who isn't like him, who wouldn't have done the same thing for him. Had the Samaritan went over to the ditch, leaned over, and like a kid in elementary school went na-na-na-na-boo-boo, that would have, no. Mercy goes over. See, here's the thing. Mercy helps somebody not like us. See, and I'm not going to pick anybody because I don't want to be accused of jinxing anybody. But here's what I know. If when we get done today, we go out in the parking lot, and one of the ladies of the church, or even one of the men of the church for that matter, we get out there and they have a flat tire. I know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, it'll look like a NASCAR pit crew. There will be too many people helping. there will be too many people involved. You know, it'll be boom, back to the track. You know, I mean, it will be. You know, we had that happen a few weeks ago. A lady calls on a Wednesday night. She's just down the street with a flat tire. I said to CD, you know, hey, can you help me go? Can we go down here and help? Boom! You know, I'm just standing. Man, I made a great supervisor because CD pounced on that tire like a dog on a three-legged cat. I mean, I'm just, you know, yeah, go. And, you know, I got credit for it and just, you know, that was cool. I like that. You know, I know that. You know, if we go out and somebody's car won't start, there'll be people who all, can I take you home? You want to ride with me? Let me see if I can fix it. Let's see if I can jump it off. Why? Because we're in church together. We know each other. You know, we care about each other. But mercy helps the guy in the ditch that we don't know. Mercy helps the guy that's not like us. It's not hard to be merciful to a family. Well, it's not hard to be merciful to a church member that you go to church with. It's not hard to be merciful to somebody who looks like us, who acts like us. I don't want to go into the politics of it. But we, you know, if you've been awake, you've seen the news and you know what's happening. There are a lot of folks being brought, allowed to come into this country from other countries. And it's got a lot of people upset. Right or wrong, that's not the point. Here's the point. They're coming. Right or wrong, like it or not, they're coming. So, where we may not be able to send missionaries to Syria to carry the gospel into Syria, guess what? We got Syrians coming here. So let's share the gospel with them. Let's be merciful. God's opened up an opportunity for us. Mercy is helpful to those who are not like us, who aren't part of our little group. That's what mercy is. I'm amazed sometimes when you mention, well, let's help somebody, let's do this. Well, who are they? What difference does it make? They're in need. They need to know the love of Christ. They don't who they are, where they are, what they are. That's not the point. The point is, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful." There are no sub points. There are no bulleted points. There are no outline numbers under it. Blessed are the merciful to the merciful. One of my favorite shows of all time was MASH. I loved MASH. And I remember one time, Major Burns, this is one of my favorite lines. I don't remember a lot of things, but I remember this. I remember him saying, "It's nice to be nice to the nice." Think about that for a minute. It's nice to be nice to the nice. It's not so nice to be nice to the jerk sometimes, is it? Christ doesn't say be merciful to the merciful. Christ doesn't say be merciful to the kind, be merciful to the nice, be merciful to your family, be merciful to the friend. He just said be merciful to those that are not like us. The Good Samaritan show, not only does he show us that mercy helps those that are not like us, mercy even helps those that have hurt us. Nice to be nice to the nice. It's not so nice to be nice to someone who has hurt us. Don't raise your hand. Don't volunteer their name. But most of us, somewhere deep in places we probably don't want to talk about, have somebody's name or face, and it's going to pop into your mind as I talk, that pops into your mind that you, honestly, if you saw them beside the road, you'd go, ha, ha, right down the road you go. Yeah. If you found out tomorrow they went bankrupt, because they serve them right. Or if you found out tomorrow they won the lottery, you'd be mad. Yeah. I don't know which is worse. You know, we enjoy seeing them suffer or we hate seeing them prosper. Mercy, again, doesn't say, happy are those, blessed are those that are merciful to those that are nice. Good Samaritan shows us we're merciful even to those that have hurt us. Can I tell you that there is nothing, no possible way for us to show the love of Christ clearer than by showing mercy to those who have hurt us. There is no way to be more like Christ than to show mercy to those who hurt us. I remember reading about a certain bloodied, beaten, crucified man hanging on a cross saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'm pretty sure I've read somewhere in the New Testament that while we were yet sinners, He commended His love to us. We talk about being like Jesus. There's no greater way to be like Christ, no clearer way to picture Christ than to show the love of Christ, to show mercy, to see a need and to meet a need. Someone who has hurt us. This Samaritan, this Jew was part of a group of people that had basically banished his nation. The Jews, listen, had they had their way, they would have, you know, if they had the ability and the means, they would have bombed Samaria off the planet. I mean, they would have made, you know, Samaria a swimming pool. I mean, that would have been their, you know, that would have been their desire. You know, this man in this ditch represented everything wrong for a Samaritan man. They wouldn't allow him to worship in their temple. They didn't want to come. They didn't want them in their land. They didn't want to go in their land. They represented everything. The Jews, this Jewish man, stood for and represented something that had been oppressive to this Samaritan man all his life. I heard a comedian one time talking about getting run over in New York. He said, "You get run over in New York," and said, "Somebody will come out and go, you won't be needing these tennis shoes anymore, and pull your shoes off and keep going." Yeah. That would have served this man right in the ditch. If the Samaritan went over and said, "Yes, you won't be needing these sandals and this walking stick anymore. Have fun." No. Mercy to those who wouldn't like him, those who had hurt him. Listen, folks, let's be honest. Those who were his enemies. Y'all would rather me preach about hell than being nice to your enemy, right? Yeah. You'd rather hear something along those lines. You'd rather me preach on tithing than talk about being nice and merciful to your enemies. Yeah. That's heresy. Mercy to those that are not like us, those that have hurt us, those that are our enemies, those that are hurting. That's mercy. That's what mercy looks like. That's what the church ought to look like. I love the sign, and I find it interesting that they've all been torn down. But at one time I had hung up signs all over the place around here that said the church is the only institution in the world that exists for those who are not her members. Amen. And all those signs are gone. But that's exactly who we are. We exist for those who are not our members. Mercy. Why? Mercy distributed. Now look what he says at the end. And forgive me, I may upset some of you. I want to say this in a way that clears it up some out of King James English. Blessed are the merciful because they have received mercy. Again, let's take the whole context of things. Again, I've said all along, the Beatitudes are not a buffet line where you get to pick and choose. He's already told us. Starts out poor in spirit, recognizing our sinful condition, grieving over that sinful condition, being meek enough to allow God to change us, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And then we are merciful. Why? Because we realize that we have received mercy. We realize how merciful God has been to us. We realize that God in His mercy has spared us, has spared you, and instead of judgment, offered grace, offered forgiveness. And because of that, we are merciful. I wonder this morning, in closing, I just want you to think of something. If we were to go out and to go among your friends, your family, your loved ones, those that know you best, and we were to say to them, make a list of all of their attributes. Tell me about them. Tell me all about them. Just one word. Just give me the words that describe George the best. Give me the words that describe Lucy the best. Would mercy make the list? Would anybody call us merciful? As I thought about that, here's what kind of dawned on me. Most of us, when we see a huge need, like situation in Savannah and Charleston down the East Coast. I'm sure that over the coming days, just talking to Paul from the Baptist Men, I'm sure over the coming days there's going to be a lot of needs. And I'm positive that if I was to say that next Sunday, please bring bottled water, and we may before so, we don't know as the needs develop. I'm sure that if I said bring bottled water, bring cleaning supplies, most of us would respond. Most of us would respond to the big needs of people we don't even know on the East Coast. You've done it before. While at the same time, many of us wouldn't walk next door and help our neighbor. Is merciful a word that would be used to describe us as a church, as individuals? It should be. We talk about, we sing all the time. There's a hymn in the book, "Let Others See Jesus in Me." We talk about that. Want people to see Jesus in me. Can I ask you a question? Was Jesus merciful? Was he? So if Jesus was merciful and I'm not showing mercy, I'm not being very much like Christ, am I? I think if you, now, let me ask you a question. If we were to do that same, give them a list and ask them to describe one thing and ask them to describe Jesus, do you think mercy would show up on Jesus' list? Do you think merciful would show up on His list? And shouldn't it show up on ours? Shouldn't it be one of our characteristics? Shouldn't it be what we're known for? I want to ask you to bow your head this morning. When you're here today and you say, Jimmy, I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, no question in my mind, no hesitation, I know I've been saved. I know that I know that I know that I know, as they always say. But I also know that I'm not always merciful. You need to come this morning, you need to kneel and say, Lord, help me. Nothing you can do, nothing about you will greater demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ in your life than showing mercy to those who don't deserve mercy. More importantly, you're here today and you don't know Christ. See, I'm not even sure what this mercy is. Mercy is what Jesus Christ gave you at Calvary. Mercy is what He did for you. He extended mercy. Grace is giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is not giving you what you... He's giving you that opportunity. You're here today and you don't know Christ. You don't know Him as your Savior. Christ died on a Calvary. Died on a cross to show you mercy. Will you come and let me show you from God's Word how you can have a relationship with Him, how you can experience firsthand, personally, the mercy of God? Christians, will you come and kneel and say, Lord, make me merciful. Teach me to be merciful. It's not natural for me. Lord, make our church merciful. Not just to those like us, not just to those we love, not just, but to those who are different from us, those who are our enemies, those who have hurt us. God, help me to learn to show mercy. And then I'll truly be like You as we stand together.